Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Morning, everybody. You're looking very tall, dark, and handsome this morning. Especially Larry. It's good to see everybody. What a great testimony, eh?
Yeah.
Valerie from, is that in the Southern Hemisphere? Yeah, there you go. We have a Southerner in the house. And then we have Andrea, who's not even from England, she's from Dutchland, which is even further away. That's where they make cheese. Which she loves. If you're here for the first time, it's really great to have you with us. I know we've met some of you over Christmas, some of you at the beginning of the new year, which obviously partly we're still in. But what do you think of the venue here? It's all right, isn't it? This is actually where Leon and Estelle have moved to. This is the flat that they were talking about. So this is actually their front room. So when you finish, you're going to hoover up afterwards. That's not really. But it's great to be in this particular facility. We really appreciate the trustees and the directors of the college who we're beginning to have a good relationship with. They value the partnership with a Christian organization, and we certainly value the grace. The extraordinary opportunities that they're giving us. So we don't even have to put the chairs out. But we do have to fill them. We don't even have to hoover up. But we do want to bring people whose lives need to be cleaned up. So it's, for me, a building is just a building. It's just bits. There's nothing tremendously of virtue of them. It's just a space to meet in. The great value that we have is people. So just look at the person next to you. If there is anybody near you, Richard, his mates have deserted him this morning. But just have a look around you, because the people around you are the greatest asset that God has today. God does not believe in PA systems, thank God. There is no PA system in heaven. Neither does he need a band. Because he is the band. What he does invest in is people, like you and like me. And I was really excited about kind of getting some feedback from the open house yesterday. There was a great feel in the three rooms, actually. Philip and Pam are really blessed. They have a great home. But they didn't have their home for a family of 28 people to be in it. And a dog. The dog is safe. It barks in the spirit. It barks and prays. It translates its own bark. When you say graze, it prays with you. When it sneezes, it says bless you in dog language. It's an amazing dog. It's an amazing dog, isn't it? And if you really want to encourage Philip and Pam, in their heart, they want to run a Christian B&B. So when they host the next open house, which I think is it in February? But when they host the next one, everybody bring a sleeping bag. It'll be fine. They'll be okay with that, because they provide great, one part of the B, whichever part it is, the second part, they really do a good breakfast. So everybody bring a sleeping bag, each. Everybody bring a sleeping bag, and we'll pawn it to their house at 9 o'clock, and then we'll just stay until Sunday. How's that? They're not moaning or denying it. That's, Vanessa's just going, no. Vanessa has actually offered her own personal bedroom space, because apparently it's the biggest room in the house. Stuart, how do you? You shouldn't know things like that. That's, anyways. Point is, yesterday, I was just so encouraged by the people that came. We had some people there for the first time. It's always great. You only do the first thing once. You only have one first impression. Because once you've had it, you don't need another one. So there were some people there for the first time yesterday. We had such a great time. And what encouraged me was the fact that everybody had either kind of taken some time to read a little bit of the Bible, as most of you know, and if you don't, then I can tell you, is that from the 4th of January, which was Monday, we've kind of taken a decision before the Lord as a church So that's the congregation here in Worthing, the congregation in Horsham, and the congregation in Crawley, is that every day we're going to commit up some time to actually read one chapter of the book of Matthew. But that's easy to do, actually. The tricky bit, and I'm sorry for using the word tricky, the challenging bit, tricky is a bit like do-do-do-do, the challenging bit is we can all read the Bible, but when we read the Bible reads us. So the challenge, that was good, wasn't it? The challenge, Antonio, welcome back from Portsmouth. The challenge is not when I read my Bible, because, you know, I've been a Christian since 1986. So I've read my Bible hundreds of times, thousands of times. Whether you've read it 1,000 times or only once, the challenge is not about me reading the Bible. It's about the Bible reading me. So, for example, in Matthew chapter 1, if some of you have found it, or if you can just turn to it now, you'll find what's called the genealogy. Just say genealogy. If you can't say the word, just make up another word. If your teeth are not your own, make sure you don't spit them out, though, when you say it, because that's a really difficult one to say. Genealogy. Thank you, Graham. Genealogy is a really interesting fact. Everybody's got a genealogy. But I just want to kind of expand a thought, really, on Matthew chapter 1, and it's this. I read through this genealogy, and I read all kinds of names of people in there that shouldn't be there. There are all kinds of drunkards, misfits, low life, high life, all kinds of strange and odd people. And it reminds me a little bit of me, and it reminds me a little bit of us. I'm not looking at anybody in particular, Josh. But we're all a bit odd. We're all a bit weird. We're all a bit kind of left field. We're all a bit different. Is that okay? But because of genealogy, God doesn't seem to mind. But there's just two things in Matthew 1 I'd just like to encourage you with and just show off a little bit of Hebrew. The first one is this. There are 14 generations of time. The first one we read about from Abraham, and it goes all the way down to Babylon, etc., etc. Then there's another one to Joseph. The reason why there's 14 is because the Hebrew number 14 means deliverance. The Hebrew number 14 means salvation. And it's really, really important that when we read the Bible, we realize if you're a Christian, salvation is in your genes. When you gave your life to Jesus, you became part of not the grandsons of God, but the sons of God. Not the stepsons or the could have beens, but you became a son of God. So from Joseph downwards, where it says, and Jesus, who is called the Christ, if we add in another timeline onto that, if you are in Jesus, if you are a Christian today and your life is now hidden with Christ in God today, then you can put your name underneath there. But we become part of this tremendous genealogy that 14 means my life is about seeing other people set free. It's in my genes. It may not have been in my natural genes. It may not have been in my natural culture. But it is in my genes. In other words, if you were brought up on Levi's, maybe you need to change them. You see what I did there? Did you just ask him what the joke was? Okay, well done. A lot of people are asking that. So in Matthew 1, we find that deliverance and salvation, as a Christian, they're in your genes. They're in your DNA. We were discussing yesterday the fascinating thing about the Bible is, as I kind of referred to, it's not about when I read the Bible, it's about the Bible reading me. What I mean by that is this. Is the Bible adds nothing to what I have. It tells me what I have. The Bible adds nothing at all to who I am. It tells me who I am. The Bible itself gives me nothing more than I've already been given. It tells me what I've been given. That was amazing. That was almost in perfect time. Hallelujah. So we were talking yesterday about, in our genealogy as a Christian, is somewhere inside of me, there is freedom for somebody else. It was essential that Jesus was born out of the genealogy of deliverance and salvation. Now, we all know that Jesus always was. But when he popped out in humanity, he had to pop out in the right circumstance, at the right time, and in the right place. And my friend here, Andrew, is a clever boy. He might not look it, but he's really clever. He looks it to me, okay. But he came out with an interesting statistic yesterday, and I nicked it. Because I'm like that. Let's just take the event of Jesus being born in Bethlehem as an event. Let's take the event of when Jesus was born in Bethlehem as an event. Let's take the fact that certain people traveled because they saw a star as an event. There are three events. Let's take the event of Jesus going to a temple, of Jesus being left behind. Let's take another event of when Jesus fed lots of people. Let's take an event when Jesus was crucified on a certain day and rose on another day. Let's take some of these events, and there are actually eight events, which somebody back in the 30s, wasn't it, I think, back in the 30s, just did a probability study on. Now, this gets me excited. I'm an engineer. I like to find out why things work. So this guy, with a lot of his helpers, did a little mathematical project. I'm not going to put the number on the board because it would fill the whole wall. But the probability of one person and the same person being in eight events, which were all told in the Bible, is 1 in 100 quadrillion. Quadrillion is one with a load of zeros on the end of it. The probability, it was this. They said if you put a one dime coin, you know what that is? A penny. If you put a penny over the whole of the state of Texas, and one of them was heads and everyone else was tails, you're more likely to find the head than Jesus to be in eight things at the right time. In other words, it's impossible. But what Matthew shows us is with God, nothing's impossible. So Matthew 1, we find out that Jesus was a man of his time. He was a man of our time. He was a man who was a product of his genealogy. But he came not to change his genealogy, but to change yours and to change mine. Is anybody interested in that? I just thought I'd chuck that one out. Penny, it's good to have you here. We also find that, as I mentioned, when you become a Christian, and Jesus spoke this so many times in the book of Matthew, is that he didn't see you or me or Christian people as secondhand. But actually he reinforces we're part of his inheritance. You're an inheritor. Just turn to the person next to you, even if you don't know what the word means yet. Look at them and say, I've got an inheritance. Come on, you might be sitting here and you've only got one pair of trousers in your cloakroom. You might be sitting here and the shoes are poking out your feet, or even your feet are poking out your shoes. You might be sitting here and really, 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 when you took your shoes off, your socks have got holes in. Doesn't matter what you look like. What matters is Jesus came to put us into a genealogy which has got riches around it. For me, that's what Matthew's about, particularly the first few chapters. So Matthew 1, deliverance and salvation, they're just in our gene pool now. Chapter 2, and my wife picked this up. We had a chat on Tuesday, this was. She said, it's interesting how in chapter 2, so much things happen through dreams. So much things happened beyond your iPad or your iPhone or your smartphone, or if you can't afford it, a Samsung. How many things really... I work for Apple. One bite and that's it. How many things from the end of chapter 1 to chapter 2, how many of those things just happen supernaturally? But these supernatural events, and they were real events, and many of them are recorded in historical books, not just in the Bible, which is the book of books. But these supernatural things put people in the right place. Why? So that they would be delivered. Can I just suggest to you that the reason why Jesus was the Jesus that we read about in Matthew 1-7, which if we've been following the program we're on, is because Jesus knew where he'd come from and he knew where he was going. Why? Because he was just led by the Holy Spirit. He wasn't led by Herod or by a census or by a death threat. He wasn't led by circumstantial evidence. Sorry, Clem, I give you up, mate. It's all right. He wasn't led. He wasn't led by the natural things that go around lives. He was led by the Holy Spirit, and he showed how that spirit can work. Joseph had a dream, and he took a decision and saved his family. Leon or Estelle or maybe even the bump communicated it. Had a sense of, I'm going to give you a flat. It's not going to be where you think it is. It's going to be where I've decided it's going to be. Have you got that? So what Matthew chapter 2 kind of speaks about is that Jesus moved totally supernaturally. Even at the point of birth. He was born as a supernatural cataclysmic event. Boom! Suddenly, God could be seen. I think God wants you and I to live like that today. Is that whatever our journey has been up until this point, whatever the date is, down in the 10th, 2016, is God wants to go boom into our lives. Just check your pulse, make sure you're breathing. I mean, even the chairs are responding. They're sitting there with their mouths open. Come on, Aaron. So Matthew chapter 2 is about Jesus walked, and as we journey with Jesus, Jesus shows us just how natural, supernatural things should be. Dreams, visions, open vision, revelation. Dreaming big means an obedience of big. Joseph could have woken up the next morning and he could have gone down to breakfast. They probably had goat's cheese, right? Goat's milk, goat, whatever. Go into goat. And he might have said, "God, guess what? I had this real interesting dream last night. I'm going to write it down, put it on a Facebook. We'll make a video of it. We'll make a book of it. We'll do a conference around it, but we'll stay here and they'll die." That's not his response. He had a big dream and then a big obedience to go with it. He says, immediately he woke up and they went. Jesus was exactly the same, wasn't he? He said, I don't go anywhere unless... You see, it wasn't just his father telling him. His father could have told him and he could have said, no way. Come back tomorrow. His father could have said, go over there, and he could have said, what? But he didn't, did he? So part of what Matthew shows us, there's a lot of supernatural activity, but the bottom line, it's still my choice. It's still our choice. And again, as we were kind of, as I was just coming around some of these rooms yesterday when people just chatting and sharing some thoughts, sharing their journey, these things came out. God is supernatural. Jesus lived in the supernatural and showed us how to do the same. But at the bottom line, when we take all of the feelings, all of the fuzz, all of the atmosphere, all of the lights away, the bottom line is, do we do what God tells us to do? Because if we do, we're going to live our genealogy out in the earth. Are you still with me here? Because we're only halfway through yet. We're on chapter 3. Albert, nice to see you, mate. Chapter 3, for me, and I know some of you would have got something different, reminds me that Jesus will always go to the people and the places that I would never want to. Jesus will always confuse me because he wants to go where I wouldn't want to choose to go. And he wants to spend time with the people that I probably, and you maybe, don't want to spend time with either. How many of you would have thought that over 12,000 kilometers of distance, we find two young ladies of the same kind of age, they're both kind of odd, they both love Jesus, and suddenly they meet? Because in God's economy, that's normal. In God's economy of scale, he knows where everybody is, and he knows how to put them where he wants them to be.
Hallelujah.
So please don't come up to me afterwards, or Andrew, or Richard, or Dan, if United have left him in one piece, and say, I don't know whether we should be in this congregation. Go and find another one then. Because it's more important for me that you're in the right place than you're in this place. Do you understand that? Not that we want to lose anybody. Antonio, yeah, everybody go with Antonio. Antonio's got a little flat, he'll look after you. Little car. What I'm saying is, it's more important that we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit because he puts us in the right place. But there's some key passages out of Matthew 3. I've preached on these before, so I won't dwell on them now. And it's this. Every single morning of every single day, whether it's sunny, whether it's cloudy, whether it's snowing, which it will be on Thursday, if you are a Christian, you need to make a decision. Today I'm going to live as a son of God. Because that's in your genes. Second thing. Today, God loves me. And thirdly, today God approves of me. We haven't got time to unpack that, but that's the essence of Matthew 3. Jesus gets baptized, heaven's open, voice comes out. This is the voice of the Mistron. It isn't like that. So this is my son, whom I love and I'm well pleased. I know that that's true for me. I know that it's true for you if you're a Christian. I know it can be true for you if you give your life to Jesus today. There's no, I've got to wait until I know it all. No, I just need to wait until I've given it all. So Matthew 3 is a reminder of me that every single second of every day and during the night, evidence suggests, Jesus at no point doubted he was a son of God. Never did he doubt he was loved by his Father. And never did he doubt that he was approved by him too. That's a lesson for me. Maybe it's a lesson for us all. Every day, I'm a son of God. Not a stepson, grandson. I'm a son of God. And he loves me. Well, I don't feel anything. Come here and I'll help you feel something. I don't know what the love of God feels like because it doesn't come from an emotion. It comes from a decision. I know how it can affect my emotion when I agree with that decision. Thank you, Jesus, you love me. Suddenly, things just don't seem to matter. So in Matthew 3, Jesus shows us there that everybody in humanity needs to know who they belong to, how they're seen, and what their future can look like. You are my son, whom I love, and I'm well pleased. Chapter 4, this is a good one, because there's a bit of an order here now. Jesus draws a crowd. I don't just mean he has a piece of paper and draws loads of little stick insects, although he might do that. You have a crowd. You have a crowd, not because of your capacity to entertain or to be engaging or funny, not for your capacity to be everybody's answer to everybody's problem. If you know Christ, you can draw a crowd because Jesus is a crowd puller. And if he lives in you, and if he lives in me by his Holy Spirit, then he is going to draw a crowd around you and around me. The question is not about the crowd, it's about what do we do with the crowd. This could be your family, this could be your work colleagues, this could be your neighbors, this could be the people that you just happen to meet on a regular basis. All of those are part of your crowd. Because Jesus designed you and me to live with a crowd. Not as part of the crowd, but we draw a crowd. Question I have, question that God was speaking to me about is, what do I do with the crowd that I've got? And without being rude to anybody, you are part of that crowd. You're a mob. Some of you look more mobbish than others, but you're a mob. You're a mobster. You're a gangster for God. Come on, Phil, crack a smile back. Yeah, come on. But you're part of the mob. But I know that around you, whether these people know Jesus today or not, you have a crowd. And Jesus was brilliant, not just at drawing a crowd, but identifying with every person in the crowd. That's what he's asking you and I to do. This whole time is, how do we journey with Jesus through the book of Matthew in the setting of, how do I live as a sent people? We're sent with salvation in our genes. We're sent with supernatural things that go on. Let's learn how to be mature in those things and be obedient with those things, because obedience is a sign of maturity. Getting supernatural stuff is not a sign of maturity. That's a sign of God's favor. Obedience to the supernatural things is a sign of maturity. God doesn't need to mature. We do. I'm enjoying this message so much. Penny, you all right? Do you like that jacket? Do you come from Scotland? Is it a kilt, really? You have to put your legs through the sleeves or something. And what we were talking about yesterday is Jesus said something really odd, and it was only odd for me because it was just the way I'm wired. How many of you know that Jesus was the living Word? He was the Word of God in human form. How many of you kind of get that? How many of you also would at least accept, even if we don't understand how it works, that Jesus himself wrote all of the Bible? How strange is that? So we have this tremendous thing where Jesus rocks up in the middle of nowhere and says, it is written. What's written? He didn't have the Torah with him. He didn't have a portable synagogue packed in his backpack. What he was saying is, in my life, this is my conviction. It wasn't an aid memoir. It wasn't a, hey guys, don't forget. It was, this is my conviction. This isn't just what's written. This is what's written in me. This isn't just what's written out in Jerusalem. This is what's written in me. And this is what I'm speaking. Which is why I started this kind of chat by saying the Bible doesn't give you anything more than God's already given you, but it does tell you what he's given you. It doesn't change your identity at all. It just tells you what your identity is. There is now no. Say no. No is two little letters. It's a bit like if. There is now no. You've got to do it properly with a bit of emphasis on the O. No. You can wave. I like you. You'll be good at Pictionary. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Is a fact. It is written. It's only going to be written in me when I'm living like it's written in me. But how do I know it's written in me? Because the Bible tells me it is. Not because I've experienced it, maybe. Maybe I've experienced any opposite. But when I read it in there, oh, that's what's written in me. Do you understand that? So Matthew 4, oh, such a powerful, powerful chapter. Matthew 4 is about our lifestyle. We are salt. We are light in society. And we were chatting yesterday, somebody had made a comment about, you know, they didn't know how much of a Christian they'd been or not, and we all get that, right? And we were talking about the reality. How many of you have had a paper cut? How many of you would like one? Okay. We were just talking about sometimes you get little injuries in your skin. We all do, right? In your feet, in your fingers. Sometimes when we perspire a little bit or you eat Pringles. I'm not offering you Pringles, mate. Sorry, calm down. It's only a commercial. But sometimes we get a bit of salt, and you go, ouch. But that's what salt does. salt is in you because of your gene pool. And sometimes we go into just very normal situations, but because there's salt in you, some people, a bit of an ouch there. Maybe because they don't know Christ, they might see that as you're having a bit of a moan at them. Well, we don't want to do that. But actually, you are salt and you are light to society if Christ is in you, because that's how he's made you. And sometimes salt just puts a bit of an ouch factor in it. So the Bible says who we are, says what we have, and it says what we can do. Chapter 5, very famous. It's the Sermon on the Mount. Brilliant. I've had the privilege of doing the Sermon on the Mount when the Sermon on the Mount was done from. It's kind of cool. It's high up. You don't have to have a big, loud voice. You can probably have 10, 20, 30,000 people down there because it's a very natural amphitheater. It's cool. Brilliant. Yippee skippy. The point, though, is this. Happiness or blessing, happiness is my permanent condition. And yours, if you know Christ. Happiness is not, I need entertaining. Happiness is not, everything around my world needs to be going how I think it should be. Happiness is now a condition that I carry because my gene pool is of happiness. It's blessed are the poor in spirit. But that word means happy. Happy is my condition, and if you know Christ, it's your condition too. Are you living out of it? Don't know, your face will tell you. Do we need to live out of it more? Don't know, ask the people that know you the most. But all I know is happiness is something God put into Jesus when he was born. Why? Because everybody around him said, this guy's just so happy. The Bible puts it this way. The anointing of joy set him above all of his friends. Same thing. So God wants you and I to live like Jesus as a sent person, happy. It's a state of mind. It's a condition of our heart. We're salty by nature, not by nurture. And for those of you that can remember, with light, just let it be. Let it be. You are a light if you know Christ. So that's what comes out of this chapter for me. Are we still all right with this? Just turn to the person next to you and ask him, are you getting anything out of this? You don't have to answer the question. Just ask it, right? Chapter 6 says this to me. Might say something different to you. Whole lot of stuff in there. I've just surmised it and said, my position before God must be more important to me than my position before people. You don't have to stand on the stage to lead people. You lead the row you're in. You don't have to be in the band to lead the singing. You lead the people around you. You don't have to have every jot and tittle sorted. You just follow Jesus the best way you know how to. So what came out of this chapter is my position. Oh, hello. My position before God, forgive others. Don't stand in front of everybody and just pray a big prayer. So everybody's here, you're praying a big prayer. No, my position before God positions me before people in the right way. And this was Jesus' stuff again. Jesus sometimes just disappeared, but he was always in the eye line of God. Jesus sometimes just left the crowd, but he was stood in front of the crowd of glory. Jesus sometimes just took himself apart, but put himself fully in the presence of his Father. Because he knew his lifestyle shows me, and hopefully I'm helping us to understand that it's our position before God that influences our position before people. The greatest servant is the one who... I've got that wrong way now. The greatest master is the one who serves the most. Jesus says, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. and particularly through the encounter evenings. I know they went up in Horsham, you know, it's been a bit of a stretch if you're kind of on the south coast, but it's been great to see some people up there. That's partly why, as a leadership, we've agreed to do two here. And one, as Andrew's mentioned, one is on the 13th of January. That'll be in here. That'll be a very, very powerful time. I'm not just saying that because it's my job. I'm not saying it because it's my job. I'm saying it because it's my conviction. It's going to be a very powerful time. God is going to move. He's going to fall. He's going to minister. He's going to encourage. He's going to heal. He's going to set people free. It's going to be awesome. Why? So that when we rock up to Foundry Lane on the 20th and we hear the big vision that our senior pastor's got, we'll be up there saying, yeah, we can do that. We can do that because that's what we have been empowered to do. And then when we come down here again on the 27th of January, and I've invited every other church pastor in the whole of Worthing to come, and some of them are coming, and some of them are bringing their friends. So this place on the 27th is going to be rammed, but what's it rammed for? So that we have a bless me time? I do hope not. We have a build time? I do hope so. So these encounters are about transforming the atmosphere of our town, not my personal walk with Jesus. And I get that so much out of chapter 6. It's not that I want to meet with Jesus, so others meet with Jesus through me. I'm going to encounter the glory and the power of God in the way that I know it is. So that when I leave this door, somebody else is going to trip over God. Hallelujah. So that encounter evening on the 27th, we'll talk a little bit more about that next Sunday and the Sunday after. But it's going to be a bit different from what we've done here before. Why? Because it's time. God's setting us up not to big up Kingdom Faith, God forbid, but to big up God. Hallelujah. You might be thinking, well, God doesn't need bigging up. Great, if you've been leading someone to Christ every day for the last year, I'll agree with you. Personally, I haven't, not every day, but a lot of days. I'm aiming for, and the Lord added to their number daily, those that are being saved. I'm aiming for that. Anybody else with me? Right, so when we've got that, we know we're making some progress. Is that okay? So out of chapter 6, that's what I got, is prayer is my relationship which expresses not what I want God to do, but what I know He's done for me. Hallelujah. Let your kingdom come as it is, not as it could have, would have, should have been, but as it is up there, I want to see it here. As your will is up there, I want to see it here. That's how Jesus lived. Jesus lived with His head in heaven and His feet on the ground. That's how we need to live, isn't it? You're doing really well. There's only 6 minutes left. You okay? And then chapter 7. And I've kind of spent a little bit of time just in this morning. Again, I know you would have got other bits and pieces yourself. So when we have a break in a few minutes and grab a tea and a coffee, share some of your feedback with somebody. Even if they haven't had time to read all the chapters, maybe they didn't have a clue that we were doing it. Every time you speak about your testimony with God, it adds to someone's journey. So please take the time, take a friend, have a drink, share some story. Chapter 7 for me said this. My root system, well, we did this last week, Philip was impressed that I was doing a horticultural message and throwing mud over everywhere as well. Thank you. And because of our roots are now in a different system, the plants, the branches, the fruit will be a different order, not subject to any natural condition, pest, symptom, or circumstance. The whole world suffers with storms and conditions at this time, but the seekers of God, who's a seeker of God here? This scripture is just going to come behind me. Thanks, Laura. This is Matthew 6, 31. Chapter 7, just for me, the tipping point is this. There is stuff out in the world that we need to do the work God's got for us to do. Like Leon and Estelle and Littleton, they need somewhere to live. But they didn't go around banging on every estate agent door saying, give us somewhere to live. They probably said, God, you give us somewhere to live. I know there's others of you looking for relocation, repositioning, looking for maybe some refreshment, It may be looking for some restoration. You have to go up first. Go up before you go out. Maybe some of you are carrying sickness around in your body. Maybe some of you just had a medical diagnosis and it says this, 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 this. Go up before you go back. Go up before you go back. Because this is how Jesus shows us. And it says this in Matthew 6, it's up behind me. So do not worry, what shall I eat, or what shall I drink, or what shall I wear? Basic life ingredients, skills, and necessities. You can maintain life with a couple of those. Maybe just with one and a little bit. But you can't not have those. Otherwise we'd end up naked. That does not fill me with joy. That thought, okay? And hungry and thirsty. So Jesus says this. Don't worry about those things. Doesn't mean you don't need them. It means don't set your emotional energy on whether you get them or not. He says no. Seek what? First. Why? It's not because all these things come as a reward. It's because the Father knows you and I need them. You don't get any more medals because you fast for 41 days. In fact, if God's only said fast 10, and you thought, I'll just give it another go, you've lost your medal. It's called the Medal of Disobedience. I've done 40-day fast. You need to know it's gone, all right? Otherwise, you freak out. For some of you, just missing breakfast, my double God! I have no idea. All I'm saying is chapter 7 just repositions my thinking, and I'm just sharing my thoughts, all right? And you will have your own thoughts from your chapter. Is every day I wake up in the Paul gene of I'm here to see someone's life change. Every day I wake up, God's going to do something supernatural to put me in the right place. Every day I wake up saying, I'm a son. I'm loved. I'm approved. Every day I wake up thinking, my root system is different. I don't have to comply with society. Every day I wake up and think, okay, Lord, I'm putting you first. I don't know about you, but sometimes I have to say that more than once. Not because God is deaf, it's because I'm stupid. Because I say, God, you go first, but then I go first. So this is what I've personally got out of these last few days. There'll be other things for you, but I know this. God has called you and I to live as sent people. To live as sent people. Matthew shows us how Jesus lived like that. Remember, Matthew is about journeying with Jesus. Next month, when we look at the book of Acts, it's about how do we engage with that journey, that lifestyle, in a corporate way. But we'll look at that in February. Is that okay? Let's all stand up, shall we? You've been very diligent in your listening. I think you should give yourselves a pat on the back. Come on, everybody needs to do it, otherwise... Somebody help Waisha because she's only got one arm. You need a parrot to go on that shoulder. Okay. Give yourselves a pat on the back. I don't know whether you know Jesus today or not. I have no idea and it's not my place to judge that. All I know is that God does know everybody here. And everything that I've said is from the Bible. It's as true for you if you don't know Jesus. It is for you as if though you do. Because God favors everybody. The only difference is that as a non-Christian, I can read the Bible and nothing is written in my heart. Because Jesus isn't in my heart. Or as a Christian, I read it and it's like, yeah, that's true. That's me. That's what I have. The only difference is who's writing on your heart. Is it the world or is it God? So let's just close our eyes for a moment. It does all go dark. Don't worry. Because I have no idea what your relationship with Jesus is like, what you think it should be like, what you hope it to be like, I have no idea. And I'm not here to comment on that. All I'm here to say is that today you can give your life to Jesus. And in exchange, he will give his life to you. He doesn't do our lives up. He takes them away and replaces our life with his own life. He'll also give us the power to live that new life fully. It's called the Holy Spirit. It's another part of God. And it may be that you've given your life to Jesus, yet I know that if I died right now, I'm going to heaven because I'm securing my faith with Jesus. But it may be that you're just struggling. I just don't live like this. Well, none of us do in the way that Jesus did, but we can. That's the point of going through Matthew. But we need the same helper that Jesus had, the Holy Spirit. Because when we can't, he can. So it may be that you've given your life to Jesus, in which case you can just thank God for that, that you are secure, you're a son of God, you know that you're in the gene pool of Jesus. It can be put it that way. That now deliverance and salvation are part of your genes. But maybe you just need a bit of help. Well, actually, I don't get dreams, I don't get visions, I don't hear God speak to me. Beloved one, you just need the Holy Spirit, because he's talking all the time. Or it may just be, well, actually, for me, Jesus, I celebrated him a couple of weeks ago, I opened a few presents, a bit of a drink, met some mates. I'll celebrate him next Christmas. No, Jesus is not just for Christmas. He's for eternity. I'm just going to pray in a general way. If you want to find out a bit more about Jesus, either come and speak to Andrew, who led the service through, or me, or Richard, who's my friend here, or Larry, who was playing the bass. You can chat to any of us. If it's a lady and you're soon to speak to a lady, then you can come and speak to Judy, who's next to Larry, or you can speak to Liz, who's just over here, and they'd love to have a chat with you about this is how you can know Jesus. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit, man, you can just ask that yourself, and we'd love to pray with you, but I cannot give you the Holy Spirit. That's Jesus' job. But I can agree that you can get it. So if you want to receive the Holy Spirit, then just come up to the front and chat with one of us and we'll pray with you and the Holy Spirit will do the rest. Father, I want to thank you. Just lift our hands if you can. Poppy can. I've seen her do it. Father, I just want to thank you so much that you are taking us on an incredible journey. An incredible journey with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, with your word. I thank you for what you've already spoken over these last 6 days into our hearts. What you've already done in the encounter evenings. But I don't know about anybody else, but Lord, for me, I know it's not enough. I want more of you at work in my life. I want more of your nature in my nature, not in terms of getting it, but in terms of living out of it. So, Father, I thank you that in these next 7 days, you are going to come upon our lives afresh. You're going to speak to us anew. Your Holy Spirit is going to move in power. Your word is going to come alive in a fresh way. And I thank you that when we meet here on Wednesday, it's going to be like touching a blue touch paper where your presence is just going to explode over Worthing in a fresh way. And I thank you and I praise you and I give you all the glory. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.